In these verses that Naomi read to us a few moments ago, we find Jesus telling a parable. Can anybody tell me what a parable is? It's a story with a meaning. Yes, I like that answer. What were you going to say? Something similar? Yeah, very good. Yeah, I like that answer as well. It's a story with a meaning, with a spiritual meaning. Peter, I don't know whether we can have some of my pictures up on the screen now. I'll move them along, if you like. Oops. Ah, oh, there we go. Jesus, on one occasion, told a parable. But who was it that he told this parable to? Now, the answer is right in front of you. Who is going to stand up and read for us verse 9 of Luke chapter 18? Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. If you don't want to stand up, you don't have to. Just read it out for us nice and loud. Mum, do you think Peter will be all right reading it out nice and loud for us? Yeah, would you like to give him a little bit of help? That's excellent. Well done. Yeah, very good. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Jesus then told this parable of two men who went to the temple in order to pray. Where was the temple to be found? In what city? Jerusalem. Very good. Now, one of the men that went to the temple was a Pharisee. It's the Pharisee, okay, that's in the front of this picture. And can anybody tell me what a Pharisee was? What was a Pharisee? Any ideas? I'm sure you've learned about Pharisees in church before. Shall I tell you? Peter.
Well, he's the man really who lived in the Old Testament.
Okay. Okay, that's a good and helpful answer. Pharisees were a particular group of religious men. They were very interested and very excited about the law of God, and they tried to give the impression that they were very holy men of God indeed. So the Pharisee was one of those who came to the temple to pray in Jesus' parable. Now, the first thing that I want us to take note of is the Pharisee's posture. I'm sure that some of you have heard that word before, because some of you like Strictly, don't you? You're not going to admit to it, but some of you like Strictly Come Dancing, and you know, having watched Strictly Come Dancing, that posture is all important. Am I right? Am I right, Josh? He's not wanting to answer that question. Fair enough. Look at the posture of the Pharisee. It says that he stood up. He probably raised his hands in the air and looked up to heaven as well as he prayed. The text doesn't actually say that, but I think it's likely that he stood up, hands raised in the air, praying to God. It was a very confident prayer, you see, that he prayed. But will you notice as well how he prayed, or the words that he used? Verse 11 says that he prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. It's a shame, really, that he didn't compare himself with some of the great saints in the Old Testament. It's a shame, really, that he chose to compare himself with some of the worst people around at that particular time. But this man was very sure of himself, very full of himself. I thank you, God, that I am not like other men. But we also find him boasting about his works here as well, don't we? What does he say in verse 12? I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. I don't know whether you know what fasting is, but basically fasting is when you stop eating for a while in order that you might devote time to God, in order that you might pray to God. Now, in the Bible, the Jews were only required to fast once a year. But this Pharisee boasted of the fact that he fasted not just once a year, but twice a week. He also boasted about the fact that he gave a tenth of all he got to the temple and ultimately, of course, to God. What's missing? What's missing in the prayer of the Pharisee? Can anybody tell me? What's missing?
Humility.
And I'm going to add to that confession of sin. There's no... God, I recognize I'm a sinner. Please be merciful to me. That there's none of that. He's just full of himself. So the first man in Jesus' parable that went to the temple to pray was a Pharisee. But the other man was a tax collector. You can see him at the back of that picture. It says in verse 13 that he stood at a distance. That might imply that the Pharisee tried to draw near to God. But the tax collector stood at a distance. You see, he didn't really feel that he could draw near to a God who is holy. He didn't feel worthy of that. And you notice his posture. It says that he would not even look up to heaven. In other words, his head was bowed. And we read here too, don't we, that he beat his breast or his chest. And the words that he spoke were these: God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, he just felt a really bad person. He felt that he had done so many things wrong that had offended God, that he couldn't draw near to God, and that the only thing he could ask of God was God's forgiveness. He knew that he didn't deserve anything from God, and so he simply pleaded with God that God might be merciful to him. The two prayers were very different, weren't they? Now, before we give thought to what Jesus said about these two men, we need to give a little bit of thought to this word that I said a few moments ago that I was going to explain, the word justified. What does the word justified mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. It means to be pardoned. It means to be forgiven, but not just pardoned or forgiven, but actually counted as good or righteous. Now, Jesus talks in verse 14 here, doesn't he, about the way that these two men went home. Which one didn't go home justified? Which one didn't go home forgiven and counted as righteous before God? Yes. It was the Pharisee. But the tax collector, who had sought God's mercy, he went home justified. He went home forgiven. He went home counted righteous in God's sight. Verse 14, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, I do want to spend some time this evening applying all of this to us. But before I do that, let's sing another hymn, and then I want to pray as well. But in this next hymn that we're going to sing, we're going to focus upon the cross. Because it's because Jesus died that sinners can be pardoned. or forgiven. So let's stand and sing this one through together. That's not the right. On the cross. We'll just give Peter a moment in order to find the right hymn. Well, I thought it would be good just for a few moments to pray for all those who are involved with leading the youth work. To this day, I'm very thankful and appreciative of those who served me when I was growing up in the church, for those who laboured faithfully in order that I might hear the gospel and be encouraged in the things of God. And so I thought it might be nice just to pray in particular for those who serve amongst the young people. Let's pray. Lord, we want to say thank you for those who work hard amongst the boys and girls and young people in the church. Lord, we thank you that despite being a relatively small church, that we are able to run lots of different groups, and where there are lots of young people that attend. Thank you for the fun and the excitement that is experienced week by week. Lord, we know that a lot of preparation goes into preparing the various activities, and we want to thank you for those who are committed to this work and seek to serve you faithfully in this way. Lord, everybody who serves is a volunteer, but Lord, what a joy it is to be able to serve you, and as we reminded ourselves this morning, to be involved in something that has eternal consequences. Lord, we do pray for your blessing upon the work of the young people here in this church. And we do thank you that a number of our young people have come to know and love the Saviour, and we ask that you would be very near and real to them, and that you would encourage them and enable them to grow, make them useful to you, we pray, where they find themselves each week. And may we see them flourishing, Lord, in the fellowship here. And we pray especially for those who as yet do not know you. Perhaps they know the gospel, they know the message, but have not yet taken that step of faith for whatever reason. Lord, we pray that you would bring them to a point whereby they feel their need of taking that step. Lord, grant them true repentance and faith, we pray. Lord, this evening we're looking at a particular portion of Scripture, but in just a few moments' time we are going to seek to apply all of this, and we pray that you would impress your truth upon each one of our minds and hearts. Lord, that tax collector, he left the temple a justified man. Lord, we're all sinners, but we can leave this church building tonight as those who are justified in your sight. And we pray that, Lord, there may be someone here tonight who comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and leaves this building justified and able to stand before a God who is holy. Lord, we commit the rest of our service to you, along with the rest of this evening. Thank you once again for this opportunity to be together. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I think that in the world in which we live today, there are lots of people who would divide men and women, young people and boys and girls, into two groups. those who are righteous and those who are sinners. For that reason, on my board, and I really should have put it that side, bearing in mind that I'm right-handed, but I put it on the left-hand side, which is a bit of a mistake, but never mind. We've got Mr. Righteous, and we've got Mr. Sinner. Hoping that these will stay on there. If they fall, Laurie, you'll just have to jump up and help me out, please. Thank you. Now, I probably don't need to ask the question, but where are we going to put some of these? Adulterer. Where are we going to put the first one? Is it going to go on the left-hand side or on the right-hand side? The colour is really the giveaway, isn't it? Yes. You're going to put it on the right-hand side. Excellent. That's exactly right. And this one, the church attender, it's going to go on the... Peter. It's going to go on the left-hand side, isn't it? Excellent. I'm not going to put it on his head. I'm going to put it on his body. There we go. Okay. They're not in any particular order. What about this one? Murderer? James. On the right-hand side. You've worked this out, haven't you? It's ever so easy. So I'll just ask one more question and then I'll put the rest on myself. What's the matter? What's the matter? What have I done? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. Scottish. I did it for Alan. A poor helper. Not bad at helping, but a helper of the poor. Okay? Okay, we'll put it on this side. It's self-explanatory. Okay, let me put the rest on. We've got a prayer. Okay, not prayer, but a prayer. And a giver. A giver to God's work. And we've got two more. A liar. I'm really worried now. In case I've spelt them incorrectly. There we go. I'm from Suffolk. Anything goes. Okay. We don't spell words correctly in Suffolk. We don't pronounce them correctly either. Have I done that wrong again? Have I? I before E. Thank you very much. Oh, dear. It's all going terribly wrong. Okay. Good. Well, we tend to categorise, don't we? In the world in which we live, we tend to think there are righteous people and there are sinful people. But the reality is, according to the Bible, that even those who may consider themselves to be righteous are not really righteous, are they? Because they commit the same sins, or at least some of the same sins, as those who people might consider to be sinners. So, Mr. Righteous, and I've spelt it correctly this time, does commit murder. You say, really, Mr. Righteous, he commits murder? Well, yes. Mr. Righteous did commit murder on one occasion because, you see, he was driving to church one morning and there was someone who cut him up on the road. And without really stopping to think about what he might say, he said something that he shouldn't have done. He went red in the face, and there were thoughts of hatred. There were thoughts of murder being expressed, you see, to the person who cut him up. Mr. Righteous is also a liar. You might say, really, Mr. Righteous tells lies? Well, yes, because when he comes into church sometimes on a Sunday morning and someone says to him, are you okay? He always says yes. But the reality is, you see, a different story. You see, things are not right in his life and neither are they right at home. Mr. Righteous is also an adulterer. You see, sometimes he goes into the town for a look around the shops with his wife, And they're holding hands together, and whilst he's wandering around, he's not looking at his wife, he's looking at all the pretty girls that are wandering around the town, thinking, wouldn't it be nice to live with them rather than his wife? And yes, I have spelt this one wrong again, I realise that. You're all so intelligent down this part of the world. He's also stolen. Mr. Righteous? Thank you. He's also stolen. Mr. Righteous has stolen. Yes, Mr. Righteous has stolen. Has he robbed a bank? No. Has he lied on his tax return? No. Worse than that, he's stolen from God. He's robbed God of the glory and the honour that's due to his name. You see, God says that he wants us to live for him all of the time, every moment of the day, to live in such a way that we bring glory and honour to him. And Mr. Righteous hasn't done that. A lot of the time he spent living for himself rather than living for God. Actually, there's no one living on earth today who can call themselves Mr. Righteous. Everybody must call themselves Mr. Sinner or Mrs. Sinner or Master Sinner or Miss Sinner. We're all sinners, aren't we? What does the Bible say? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We're all guilty. And if we're going to stand before the judge of all the earth, then we need to be, what's the word? What's the word tonight? Yes. Justified. We need to be justified, don't we? We need to be pardoned. We need to be forgiven. We need to be counted as righteous in God's sight. It's the only way that we can stand before God. Now, there's good news, isn't there, tonight? Because in the parable that we looked at, the tax collector went home justified. Just as he went home justified, we could go home tonight justified as well. Now, I've got one more picture that I want to put up onto the screen. Can we have the next picture, Peter? Gone too far. You know what this is, don't you? I beg your pardon? It's my rusting heap. It is my rusting heap. And my poor little car has just about come to the end of her life. And we'll soon have to be scrapped. But there's still a little bit of life in her as yet. But the point I'm wanting to make is that this is my car. And the reason I say it's my car is because I paid for it. And if you were to look at the documents, it would be my name written on them, okay? It's my car. But if Joanne was to come up to you after the service and say, it's also my car, would she be correct? She would. Why would she be correct? Very good. Very good. Because we're married. Because we've entered into a relationship. We've been joined together in marriage. We've been united. I suppose there is a sense in which Naomi might want to argue that it's her car as well. Sometimes she will say to people, that's our car. You see, she's a part of the family. She's related to me, just as Joanne is related to me through marriage. What's mine is also Joanne's because of that union, because of that relationship. When we put our faith or our trust in Jesus Christ, we enter into a relationship with him. We are united to him. And two things happen when we do that. And I need to come over here again. You see, when we put our faith or our trust in Jesus, God counts our sins as having been laid on Jesus. Or we might say that God counts our sins as having been nailed to the cross. And the price for our sins as having been paid in full. When we put our faith or our trust in Jesus, God pardons us. He forgives us. But that's not all. You see, it gets even better than this. God counts the righteousness of Jesus as ours, so that we are able to stand righteous, good, in the sight of God. The Bible tells us that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified. God considers us to be forgiven and righteous in his sight. One day, all of us in this room are going to have to stand before God, who is holy. He doesn't like sin. I wonder how we will fare. I wonder whether we will be able to stand or not. I wonder what God will say. You know, we have nothing to fear. We have absolutely nothing to worry about whatsoever if we have put our faith or our trust in Jesus Christ. Because he can justify sinners. Because of Jesus, we can be pardoned. We can be forgiven. And we can be counted as righteous in God's sight. That's good news, isn't it? It's a good thing to talk about at the end of a Sunday like this. Well, let me just leave you with a question. How will you fare when you have to stand before the judge of all the earth? Perhaps there'll be somebody here tonight who will put their faith or their trust in Jesus Christ for the very first time. Well, you will be able to walk out of this building knowing a wonderful sense of peace, that everything is well with your soul, that you are right with God, and that you are prepared to stand before him one day. So important, isn't it, that we all, however old or young we might be, put our faith or our trust in Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and then we'll sing our final hymn together. Lord God, we want to thank you this evening that it is possible for sinners to be justified in your sight. Lord, we live in a world where some people do know that they are sinners, and where other people think that they are righteous, just like the Pharisee all those years ago. But Lord, your word tells us so clearly and plainly that we are all sinners in your sight. We're all guilty. We're all unrighteous, and we need to be found pardoned and righteous in your sight. It's the only way we can stand. It's the only way we can avoid the sentence. It's the only way we can enter into your glory. And so we pray that you would impress these thoughts upon our minds this evening. Lord, in a few moments' time, we're going to go through to the back hall, and we're going to engage in a number of things. And, Lord, the danger is that the message tonight will be lost. But may it not be lost, because you continue to impress these things upon our minds and our hearts. Lord, there's no one here too young to be saved tonight. It's such a simple thing that is required of us, to believe in Jesus. Oh Lord, grant belief this night, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.